Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the review of All Rights Protection Mechanisms, RPMs, in All GTLDs PDP Working Group call held on the 11th of October, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call, as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now?
Terry, this is Brian Beckham. I'm only on the phone.
Thank you,
Rebecca,
Brian.
Only on audio.
Thank you, Rebecca. Oh, I'm sorry. Who was after Rebecca? Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Phil Corwin. Please begin.
Okay. Good morning, afternoon, and evening to all the members of the working group who have joined us for this call as we approach Abu Dhabi and get ready for that. Does anyone have an update to a statement of interest? Okay, hearing none, everyone has the same interest as last week. I do want to note that we do have some new staff members who will be supporting this working group going forward, so we welcome Ariel Liang, I hope I pronounced the last name correctly, and Julie Headland, and ably assisting our excellent lead staff support person, Mary Wong. So we appreciate all the help that ICANN staff provide to us, because without it, we really couldn't get our work done. And they help keep us organized as well. So we've got some staff presentations today, so we're going to get right into those presentations. And I'm going to let Mary tee those up, and once she'll describe what presentations we'll be hearing and seeing today, and of course, after the initial staff presentation, we hope to have a robust working group discussion. So, Mary, may I call on you to tee up our presentation of the initial data compilation on Sunrise registrations?
Certainly, Phil, and thank you for your very kind words, and thank you and everybody for warmly welcoming Ariel and Julie to the support team for this working group. Essentially, we will have one of our colleagues, Barry Cobb, do the presentation because Barry has been doing a collection and compilation, as you probably have seen if you looked at the document we circulated, of a lot of numbers, basically quantitative data relating to Sunrise registrations. And he'll explain where he got the data and how it's sorted and take you through essentially the first few pages of the exceedingly long document, we acknowledge that we sent. A note on that document, as I mentioned, this is all about Sunrise registrations, and we are starting to work on a similar type of compilation for trademark claims. Both of these efforts go back to the data collection sources and needs that were identified first by the Sunrise and claim subteams and secondly discussed by the full working group. So what you'll see today is really the first pass that staff did at just the Sunrise numbers that we thought would be relevant to the Sunrise review that this group is doing. Hopefully, your feedback will allow us to refine the data, perhaps go out and organize it in a better way for you, and maybe even get some additional data if we can. As I said, Barry will probably note where the sources are that we got this current data from. And of course, hopefully, at the end of looking at all these numbers for Sunrise, they will go in tandem with the evidence and the results that come back from the survey that we are planning to do, and that we've just formed a sub-team to help staff and co-chairs look at. And so this is really just a numbers presentation on Sunrise. It's the first pass. And what I'm going to do is show the document that was sent around, noting that while it is a very long document, the numbers that we're going to be concerned with, certainly for today, are in the first few pages. The bulk of the remainder of the document really are some of the actual numbers that Barry has provided for additional reference. And so on that note, Phil, unless you or anyone have questions, I think I can turn it over to Barry, who is our numbers guru, and I do want to thank him on the record for taking on this work, which has been tremendous and has been very extensive.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. And just before Barry starts, the one thing I'd ask him to try to focus on when he presents this data, I know that Barry is the wizard at both collecting and crunching data, to draw every last ounce of information out of it, to help guide us to tell us what this data tells us and what it doesn't tell us, because for the doesn't tell us part, that's going to be very relevant to the work of the sub-team kicking off this Friday to further refine our data requests. So it'll be particularly helpful to have that in mind as they begin their work in 2 days. So with that, I invite Barry to make presentation and ask working group members, unless there's a burning question that you feel compelled to intervene, to let him complete the presentation, at least the initial presentation, and then we can get into a good dialogue and questions. Thank you. Go ahead, Barry.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Phil. This is Barry Cobb for the record. Can I be heard okay? All right, great.
We hear you fine.
So thank you, everyone. Hopefully you've had time to kind of review through this. I am going to make just one additional attachment to what Mary was stating. While what you're viewing here in the AC room, or as well as thank you, George, for posting the link into the chat if you want to follow along on your own. As I work through the document, I'll let you know which page number I'm on. I'm working off of the Word document, so I can make any notes or add questions from the working group should that happen as we review through this. The actual raw data behind this is in a spreadsheet, and as Mary noted, you know, certainly what we're presenting here is still in very much in draft form, and you know, there's still quite a bit of work in front of the working group before we get to some kind of initial report. So as we move along, this is positioned in a way that I can update the data and reflect a more current version as we get closer to an actual draft. Pretty much all of this data is as of the conclusion of August of 2017, you know, perhaps at the end of the year or sometime in the first quarter of 2018, we can go through and refresh this as changes have occurred. I think most people are aware that most of the generic GTLDs have been delegated. There are still a few that are out there in contention. There are some that still will move forward in Sunrise. So there won't be significant changes from the core set that we have here, but there will be, you know, some that will definitely be worthy of upgrading the document. Lastly, I'll also mention, kind of counter to what Phil said, I'm going to go through one or two charts at a time, and I will stop to ask if there's any questions or comments or additional ask of that data. Just because I think it's easier to follow along with those particular charts in front of you. I do have visibility into the chat, and or if anybody wishes to raise their hand, and with the chair's permission, I'll just lead that cue as we move through.
Yeah, that's fine, Barry.
All right, thank you, Phil. So the first two pages, there's really two charts here, and this is really just to provide context into the overall launch of GTLDs once they started late 2013, again up to the August 2017 timeframe. Most of the source of this data is off of the GTLD microsite that I have listed there. But I thought that it was relevant to try to provide some context as it relates to the Sunrise data, because not all of the TLDs in the program, specifically specification 13 types, were required to provide Sunrise launch, but it would just help kind of create that context and the kind of that reconciliation exercise. So with this first chart, you know, you can obviously see that 2014 and 2015 were the two biggest years of GTLDs being delegated into the root zone. And there's an additional breakout here between what I'm labeling as generic versus a geographic versus a specification 13. I think just about everyone's aware that a geographic string that was applied for did have to have approval with that particular jurisdiction for that to occur, thus kind of that unique tag, whereas what most people refer to as a dot brand is specifically that they've applied for a specification 13 status where there is this definition of brand, whereas the remainder or this blue set is just kind of generic GTLDs in general. So it is kind of a, technically from an IANA perspective, they see all of these GTLDs as generic versus maybe a subset of country codes or what IANA may use for test. But there is a little bit further refinement here, predominantly, again, because there are nuances in how these TLDs operated during Sunrise versus operating during the trademark claims. Et cetera. So again, the first chart, just that breakout across those three types. The second chart at the top of page two is just a different view of the same data, but just from a regional perspective. It doesn't really have much bearing from a Sunrise perspective, but again, just a little bit of context. So I'm going to move on to the bottom of page two, which actually starts into the Sunrise data. And you'll also want to have the top of page three viewable to you in terms of having definitions about what we're about to review through here. So I think everyone in the group is noting that or is aware that there were basically two types of Sunrise launches. There was an end date Sunrise and a start date Sunrise. The difference was basically to allow registry operators a quicker time to launch. I think it was, and I can be corrected if I'm wrong, but it was predominantly due to potential name collision issues and the second level names that were designated that may have potential issue in that regard. What this an end date Sunrise allowed for was for a registry operator to run in parallel at Sunrise while it was also meeting the criteria for those names that were basically held back from registration that were also denoted during the name collision review. Thus, when they got to general availability, they met both of those criteria and could move forward as aggressively as possible to make those names available for registration. Whereas and that was typically allowed 60 calendar days. Conversely, a start date Sunrise didn't have that pre-30-day launch period, and they could go straight into, or they weren't required to have 30 days prior notice. Can move straight into the 30 days for the start date Sunrise. So what you'll see here is, again, the same distinction between the generic versus geographic versus specification 13. Predominant number of the GTLDs chose to do end date Sunrise. And you'll also notice, again, this breakout between the geographic and specification, and I'll talk about a few of these outliers in a second. Next, we have this spec 13-brand TLD. As I mentioned before, Specification 13 registry operators weren't required to launch a Sunrise, but they did post information into their launch window, and the Sunrise data would essentially be empty. However, on the other side of it, they are required to do a 90-day claims period. And then this fourth category over here is not listed. And basically, at as at the conclusion of August 2017, when I pulled this data, none of these particular TLDs have provided their launch information yet. And that's for a variety of reasons, predominantly because they haven't put together their launch information or some of that. As a part of this analysis, we haven't dived deep into why or why not they haven't provided that launch information. So before I move on, I'll just point out just a couple of the outliers. You'll notice that there were a couple of specification 13 type TLDs that also listed in Sunrise. There was one that did an end date, and I believe two that did start date Sunrises. I think these are kind of just outliers in that these registry operators were in parallel trying to apply or go through the process for specification 13. And so that data, when they posted Sunrise, is still listed out there. It's not understood at this point in time whether they actually conducted a Sunrise or not. I don't believe they have. That's something that we can go try to validate on the side. But I just wanted to point out that these few little outliers do exist, and that they show up in the data, and just so that there's not any confusion about why they show up there. Secondarily, as you can see within the specification 13 area, that there's one particular TLD had listed specification 13 type of launch, but it was in this particular outlier just happens to be .godaddy because they were granted this specification 13 status, but it was later canceled to avoid a conflict, but that data still exists out there. And so I think that pretty much explains what chart 13 is about. Susan, I see your hand is raised. Please go ahead.
Oh, lovely. Thanks very much, Barry. This is really useful. I just wanted to make a couple of comments, if that's okay, really quickly. One was, I know you mentioned that you could, if necessary, go off and look at whether the sort of outlier spec 13s had actually done a Sunrise or not. Obviously, others may disagree with me, but I can't see that really it warrants your time in going and trying to work that out. I don't think it makes any difference. I mean, if they did a Sunrise because they're Spec 13, they would only have allocated the names to themselves. So it would be, you know, a kind of purely technical Sunrise. So my personal view, and I hope others agree with me, is that that would be a waste of staff's time. And then the other thing I just wanted to make a comment on is, again, others may not necessarily agree, but I think in relation to the not listed ones, I just wanted to point out that doesn't necessarily mean that they that there's a problem. You know, the fact that the launch information hasn't been provided yet, it could well be that these are ones which you know haven't launched yet. You know, not everyone, particularly you know, a lot of brands. If they haven't quite decided how they're going to use, or if they've only decided to sort of self-allocate the sort of small number of names that they're allowed to do without sort of having formally started things like their claims process, you know, I just wanted to point out it doesn't necessarily mean that there's some kind of fault or error. They just may simply not yet have launched.
Thank you, Susan, and for sure that's what I wasn't trying to imply, that there was some kind of compliance issue or not. It's strictly just noting that information hasn't been posted into the launch information yet, and there's probably a variety, handful of reasons as to why, just noting that it hasn't yet. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, as we track down our work path and we get closer to an initial report, we'll update this, and I strongly suspect that these not listed numbers will trend downward. And George is also correct. There are a handful of PLDs that have canceled as well. And I suspect that the raw data source that we're pulling here may not have removed that particular PLD information. He cited the example of Dr. Dusen, that, you know, if they did provide launch information, that it, you know, it would still show up in these numbers. And that is part of the reason why we included some of the raw data at the bottom of this document. So, you know, we could probably see that handful or so that have recently been undelegated or canceled and in that process.
Barry, Phil here. In looking at this data, I note that the end date sunrise, we allowed registries to self-select which of these two possibilities it would go with, and end date sunrise 4/12, start date sunrise 1/46, about three quarters of the registries which were covered by this chose the end date versus the start date. I don't want to ask you for opinions, but is there anything in the data as we further get into it that informs us why registries found the end date sunrise more attractive? And is there also anything in the data, or could there be data developed to understand whether one approach or the other, how it affected the ability of trademark owners to make effective use of sunrise, and how it may have affected other parties wishing to register in the TLDs? I just wanted to get those issues out there for further exploration. Thanks.
Thank you, Phil. I think from just this data set itself, I haven't seen anything that could point to one reason why a registry operator would choose an end date or a start date one over the other. I would defer to those registry operators that are on this group to maybe provide information, and perhaps that is a likely candidate question for the registry's survey that is going to be looking to be developed over the coming weeks and months. In terms of from a brand perspective as well, I think there is a chart later on down that kind of just at a high level talks about how many average registrations occurred from an end date to a start date. It's very high level. It would have to, I think we'd have to get down into the details to see if there was any other information that could be gleaned as to why one was better than the other. My instinct would probably say that that probably won't help answer that particular question, and perhaps again that could be something that could be included in more in the survey type aspect than probably what we would garner from this raw data here. And I see Kathy as well. Please go ahead.
Hi, Barry. Can you hear me? This is Kathy Kleiman.
Loud and clear.
Terrific. First, huge thanks to you for the enormous amount of work that you've done, and the layout, which is very useful. So I had a question from the notes. We went through these tables as part of one of our leadership. And Barry, I could be wrong, so let me ask. I thought in my notes you'd mentioned something that I found very interesting, that for end date sunrise, that Donuts pretty much opt in? Is that a lot of the donuts pretty much opt in to end date sunrise for almost all its GTLDs. I thought you might have mentioned that that was where a lot of that data came from, but I thought I'd check. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. It is not listed in this document. I believe they did. I don't know what the exact numbers are. You know, if the group wishes to find that out in more detail, I think we could get to that. But I do recall them, you know, if not all of them, it was a better majority that donuts did choose end date over start date. Maxim, please go ahead.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record. Actually, we need to understand which questions we want to ask about start date and end date sunrises, because some registries, they actually couldn't use end date because it involves auctions. And, for example, in our case for Dot Moscow and Moskva, we had to use start date because first comes, first served would, for example, cause no questions from anti-monopoly committee. So it's not just matter of money. It's sometimes some companies just had to stick to one model or to the other. In auctions, it's, on the other hand, it's a situation where two eligible companies trying to get the name are resolving the dispute by means of the auction, the highest bidder. So we need to first understand what is the question you want to ask. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. I agree, especially as it relates to any additional questions we would want to ask from the quantitative perspective, but more importantly, from the qualitative perspective in the registries. And as I understand the process going forward in terms of some of those survey instruments, that's the exact type of activity that will go down, is to figure out, you know, some of those types of questions or the high level types of questions we want to answer and drill down into more specifics as it would relate to the actual survey instrument itself. And lastly, before I move on, I think to Susan's point, donuts didn't have 385 registries. That is true. I believe the number was close to 200 prior to the recent acquisition, somewhere in there. So that does mean that there are about another 200 or so that chose end date sunrise as well. So in the interest of time, I'm going to move forward. I do appreciate the dialogue and the questions, the exact kind of feedback we're looking for. You know, I definitely want to improve this as we move forward. So I'll be moving on to page 4, which is basically chart 4 and chart 5. And we'll get through this section, and then I'll stop again for any questions and comments. So this is, again, just kind of a view of what the sunrise looks like by year. Again, by this breakout between generic, geographic, and specification 13. I think the general idea here was just to kind of show a concentration or the quantity of sunrise launches as GTLDs delegated through the years. And essentially, you can see that 2014 was certainly the most active, that had 268 generics with about 32 geographics. And again, you'll kind of see these little outliers here of the specification 13. Again, that's why I wanted to make point of it earlier about how some of that information, you know, kind of still exists, whether they really actually launched at sunrise or not. And again, the number that is blank or basically is not listed squares up with that previous chart from the specification 13 at 476. And because they're not required to launch a Sunrise, they wouldn't. A few takeaways or quick points about this chart. It's only listed in the fact of what was the first date or the start date of their Sunrise period. You know, there were some that launched their Sunrise at the end of the calendar year that would fall over into the following calendar year. So I just chose to get the start date. This chart does not distinguish between start date and end date Sunrises. If the group feels that is relevant, we could probably try to work that data so that it looks a little bit different. It'd probably be a little crowded. And just as kind of another example, you see one that's 2018, which is .Zurich. That they don't plan to launch their Sunrise until next calendar year. So that's why it's kind of listed out there, even though we haven't gotten in. We're foreseeing into the future, so to speak. And then lastly, again, just because they're the 186 for generic under the blank column from the prior chart, you would see that there was 185 generic tagged TLDs. The reason why this is at 186, again, is just because of .GoDaddy, because their specification 13 was canceled. I did change that tag back to generic from spec 13, just from a reconciliation perspective. And then chart 5 is, this one could probably use some work. This one was put in kind of last minute, when we reviewed this with the co-chairs, it did kind of seem like an interesting data point as to the date a GTLD was delegated to how long they waited before they launched into Sunrise. And certainly I'd like to work on this one when we get more time. But the blue column is just what was the average duration. So for all of the GTLDs, regardless of type, if they chose an end date Sunrise, on average, they waited 81 days from the moment it was delegated to the start date of their Sunrise period. The maximum out of that data set was 1,152 days, which is kind of really just one TLD, whereas the minimum was at 7. And so the chart itself is kind of, and I admit that, so I'd probably, like I said, I'd like to go back and maybe find a better way of presenting this visually. Where the start date Sunrise, those TLDs that chose start date, on average, it was 169 days from delegation date to day one Sunrise, with a maximum of 819 days and a minimum of 35 days. So I'm going to stop right there. Are there any questions about these two charts before I move on to chart 6?
Hey, Barry, this is Claudia. I just wanted to announce I'm on audio only. Thank you.
Thanks, Claudia. Before I call on Maxim, just one observation on this chart 5, understanding that it may be further refined. It seems in terms of trademark owners having sufficient advance notice to make effective use of the Sunrise period, if they wish to, that in the, whether it's 81 days or 169 days for the two different types, that average would, in most cases, give more than sufficient time for a trademark owner to decide, knowing that a TLD is launched, whether they want to participate in Sunrise for any of their marks. I'd like to hear from trademark owners as we get further into this, whether, particularly the 7-day minimum, whether that could adversely affect that ability, and whether we should think about some minimum waiting time assure the effectiveness of this particular RPM. That's all I wanted to note, and I'll call on Maxim and following him on George. Go ahead, Maxim.
Maxim Malzoba for the record. Actually, such delays were caused mostly by administrative and issues. It's procedural and administrative mostly, because it wasn't in the interests of registry to delay sunrise, because actually you can't have business until you finished with sunrise. So I'm not sure what useful information we could have out of these numbers, because in each particular case the reasons were multiple. Some processes were not well designed. It was a situation where registry had to bargain with ICANN about some particular things, and it's not about having something announced well in advance, because the burnout time between your advertisement and the moment clients forget is usually less than we see in these charts. Thanks. So my thinking that it's not very useful chart. Thanks.
Okay. Well, all I would say, Maxim, is that I think it's useful in understanding historical data. It may not be what we experience in any future round, particularly if the subsequent procedures working group makes recommendations which would eliminate some of those causes of delay. And with that, I'll call on George.
George Gregos for the transcript. I was just wondering about chart number 5. Are those charts conditional upon the sunrise actually having taken place yet? Or, in other words, how are the ones that have not been launched yet handled, if they are part of the chart? Because there's a large number of strings from both Google and Amazon, for example, that have been delegated but haven't launched. So would they kind of count as zero, or would they have like an ongoing number, like 300 or 400 or 600 or more, that would appear in one of those charts, or they just wouldn't be reflected in that chart at all? Thank you.
Thank you, George. What I did was I filtered out any TLD that didn't have any launch data in it at all, but you're partially correct in that there are a handful of TLDs in this data are, for example, .Zurich from the previous chart. It hasn't actually gone into sunrise yet. We know that they've listed their state in 2018 versus when it was delegated. So that particular GTLD would influence. I'm not sure whether they did a start date or an end date sunrise, but that might influence this data. And so I think if anything, I want to go back to the drawing board on this. Kirk Pritz made a very good idea about making that a scatter plot. I also made a note to filter out that it's only TLDs that have actually completed their sunrise and remove out any future type stuff with this one.
Sure, this is Malcolm. Could I get in the queue?
Yes, Brian, there's someone ahead of you, but I'll bring in right after. Were you done answering, Barry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to call on Susan Payne, and then Brian is right after her.
Thanks, Phil. It's only a quick point. This is kind of interesting. But, you know, whether someone's taken 800 days or even 168 days, it's not that relevant to what we're doing. All you could say is that the vast majority of registries appear to have given people had the capacity to give people plenty of time of their launch. Whether they've actually told people when their launch is happening is an entirely different matter to this. But I'm not really sure how relevant it is, you know, how, if some registries have taken a long time to get to launch and some haven't, in the context of a review of the RPMs. I take your point about whether, you know, your question about, you know, 7 days, was that enough notice? I'm not commenting on that, but I'm saying, you know, once you get, you know, into weeks and months, really, I don't think it matters how many days it is.
Okay, thanks, Susan. And I generally would agree with that. I did comment that I thought both of the average times for the different types of sunrise between delegation and initiation of the sunrise period was more than sufficient for the mark owner to decide whether to participate. I thought the only question I wanted to raise and more with to get a response from trademark owners was whether there'd be any concern that a seven day gap or even just a simultaneous sunrise start same day as delegation would have a negative effect on ability to exercise sunrise rights. But other than that, I would generally agree this is interesting, but not particularly relevant. In fact, the longer the period between delegation and opening of the sunrise, the more time trademark owners have to consider their options. And now Brian Beckham is next, and then Maxim is back in the queue. So, Brian?
Can I get Brian in the queue Beckham as well? So, Claudio, after
Hey, Claudio.
Yeah, thanks, Brian Beckham again. I think I had a similar comment to Susan, and I believe, Phil, maybe what you were picking up on, which is I love data. I think it's very interesting. Barry, I think this is very interesting to look at. But I just wondered if someone could remind me how this is helping us with formulating policies on rights protection mechanisms and what we're driving at here. Thanks.
Yeah, Barry, did you have any response to that?
Thank you, Phil. I'll certainly defer to the chairs in general, but most of this data here, this quantitative type data, was identified from the sub-teams to produce. I think a lot of it was in raw form, and perhaps what I was attempting to do here is take a hint of creative liberty from trying to get some visual representation to that raw data. As I mentioned before, it is in draft form, mostly to further stimulate deliberations about some of the questions that the working group is trying to answer. If after this review, most of it is only interesting but not informative, we can certainly disregard it or put it to the side, and maybe or perhaps at least use some of it to help inform some of the dialogue around some of the qualitative data that the group is seeking. But that's kind of the general goal here. I would also state that, you know, at least with this approach and some of the preliminary data that we've acquired for the claims side of things can probably be much more informative than some of what we can get from the sunrise data. But I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Thanks, Barry. Hey, Barry, we're at the halfway point in this call. Before I let the others speak, how much more time will you need for presenting the data you want to present today? I just want to manage the time on the call effectively.
I would say without, excluding pauses for questions or comments, probably another 15 minutes at most, maybe even less than that. There's only four more charts to go through, and those should be a little bit here and not a little bit easier to understand the takeaways from.
Okay, well, thanks for that. And all I would say in response to some of the comments we've gotten is that the co-chairs have not directed Barry's work with any high degree of specificity. He's brought back this raw data, and in fact, the purpose of this exercise today is for this group to say, well, that's interesting, but we don't really need to delve into that further. It's not really that relevant to our task, which is to determine the efficacy of the mandated RPMs versus the ones where we say, well, we really would like you to drill deeper because that'll be very useful for our analysis. So with that, I'm going to call on Maxim, followed by Claudio, followed by Kurt. I'm going to ask, in view of the time, to speak no more than a minute or two so that we can move on and allow Barry to finish his presentation today. So, Maxim?
Maxim Alzoba, for the record, I have 2 points. First, we shouldn't look at raw numbers without looking at RPMs itself. For example, in end date sunrise, minimum is not 7, it's 67, because the winner is decided on end of the period. So it's 60 days after those 7. It's not late until the end. And in start day, sunrise, 30 days, you have to give at least 30 days in advance. And also, right, they prescribe days of the week when you can start. So we have difference of few days here and there. And the second thing is the chart 6, it's useless because you, according to RPMs, you have to have at least 60 days of end day in sunrise. You cannot do less. And for sunrise, you have to give notification in advance of 30 days, and your period can be shorter than 30. So basically, it's, yeah, what we see is that nobody violated these rules. Thanks.
Okay. But hey, I thought that was a very good point, Maxim, on the end date sunrise, that it's really, you have to add 60 days because it's not first come, first serve on that. Mary, I see your hand up. Did you have something before the next member speaks?
I just had a real quick follow-up to Barry's response, and to note that we thought that this data would be a good entry point for further data work and analysis. And you'll see as Barry goes through the rest of his presentation that some of the numbers he's going to be presenting may be more directly relevant. I would say that these charts, for the most part, take all the raw data that you can see in terms of the remainder of these pages. You can see in terms of the startup page on the new GSTLD microsite and the 3-month reports that are given by registries and registrars. So this was an attempt to put it all together as an introductory point for the group. And from the staff perspective, we know that these do not directly answer the questions that the group has agreed on about sunrise, but we hope they're helpful in terms of approaching the data collection through the surveys and in reviewing the questions. Thanks, Phil.
Hey, thanks, Mary. And I believe Claudio's on, and then Kurt's after him. And Maxim, if you're done, you could put your hand down. Thanks.
Thanks,
Claudio?
Phil. Thank you. So just as an administrative point, before I made my comment, I have an update to my SOI. I'm actually an individual member of the IPC, so nothing's changed in that regard, but I do have a new employer, which is Corporation Services Company, CSC, which is a ICANN accredited registrar. So I just wanted to note that. My substantive comment relates to a data point, which I'm not sure if we asked a question about, but the thought that I had was about the number of registrars that the registry has under contract, because, of course, if there are 0 registrars under contract, the registry can have the sunrise period and no registrations can take place. And I believe that actually occurred with Dot Shabaka, or I know at least at the time their sunrise period started, they did not have any registrars under contract. I'm not sure if they ended up signing anyone up before the sunrise period ended, but I just recall that the clock was ticking back then at the time, and they did not have any registrars to register domains. And so I'm bringing that up just in terms of, you know, if we're looking at the efficacy of Sunrise, it seems to me the amount of registrars that the registry has under contract is something that could impact the utility of that RPM. And at least if we're developing rules going forward, it's something I think we might want to give consideration to, that there should be a requirement that there is at least one registrar under agreement with the registry, so the sunrise period could actually have meaning and serve its intended purpose. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Claudio. excuse me, two responses. One, good luck in the new position. And two, I think you raised an interesting point there. Certainly, there's no, as far as I understand, registry operators are required to treat all registrars equivalently. They can't discriminate between them, but it would seem that a registry operator should have at least one registrar available at the launch of the Sunrise to make it meaningful. And with that, I'll call on Kurt, and then I hope we can allow Barry to continue on and complete his presentation, and then we can open it up the remainder of the call for questions and comments. Kurt?
Thanks, Phil. This is Kurt Pritz. So I want to comment just for a second on the utility of the data. So at first, I think, you know, we shouldn't undertake deliberations without knowing this very sick sort of data that's been generated by the program. So I think it's important that we have these numbers at our fingertips just to, as far as being knowledgeable about the program. And so I can already see some utility in the data. You know, if you look at chart one, it gives us a clue and can give trademark owners a clue of the rate at which they'll see sunrises in future rounds, because we see the proportion of the, you know, sunrises are front-loaded as registries are anxious to start their business. So this could become part of a communications campaign for the next round that informs trademark owners of the potential rate of sunrises they'll see in the future. On chart five, you know, we've kind of bracketed the time frames, but if all, you know, if 80% of the sunrises launch 7 or, you know, given Maxim's comment, 37 days after delegation, you know, that's also an important data point. So, you know, bracketing it is good, but knowing the percentages of, you know, the times between delegation and the sunrise launch would be important information for trademark owners as they seek to handle the influx of new TLDs in the next round. So, so I think a lot of the data is important and on point.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt, and I share that view personally. All right, Barry, with no further hands up, could you resume your presentation? And unless you feel it's super important to stop at any point, maybe go through to the end, since you said it would only take 10 to 15 minutes. We've got just over 30 minutes left on this call, so if you could get through in 10, 12 minutes, that would leave about 20 minutes left for further questions and comments from working group members. So, floor is yours.
Thank you. This is Barry Cobb for the record. So now I'm starting off with chart six, which is at the top of page five. This is basically just a view of the durations of the sunrise windows themselves, basically broken out by the sunrise type. As I mentioned, Spec 13 brands didn't need to have a sunrise launch. That's why that's listed blank. If a registry operator didn't list any launch information at all, that's why that's listed as blank. Perhaps the next version I would just remove the blank fields there. But when you look at an end date sunrise or a start date sunrise, the two takeaways here are from the generic and the geographics. Basically, you know, the end date sunrise on average was almost 62 days. For a geographic was almost 72 days. These outliers of these few specification 13 brands are showing up here, and perhaps those could even be filtered out. Same with start date sunrise. The generic tagged ones that were listed at 38 days on average. Geographics were listed at 31.1 days on average. I think the takeaway here is that, you know, based on the overall data, is that, you know, what we've pulled out here from now is that, you know, based on the general rules of 60 days for end date and 30 days for start date, that the GTLD launch information that was provided, those were, you know, listed in compliance with what those rules had mentioned. And I'll go ahead and move on quickly to chart 7 and 8. Chart 7 is at the top of page 6. This is just a view of the top 30 GTLDs of registration totals by GTLD. Clearly, there's a total of 484 GTLDs that launched with the Sunrise data. For a total of 63,852 domains registered during Sunrise, which equated to an average of just shy of 132, with a median of 77 second-level registrations across those 484 GTLDs. The source of this data, which I didn't put on here, it's listed on another page, is the IBM invoice data that is provided to ICANN. There is no public source of that, but fortunately we were able to get the data as of August 2017. I believe that there were a few working group members that were curious what that total was. And so that's basically the review of that information. And then lastly, chart 8, I created this one, I believe George Kirikos had mentioned it earlier, to get a visualization of kind of defined buckets of what the distribution looked like on the total registrations. This chart 8 is at the top of page 6. And so it's basically broken out from the quantity of GTLDs from 0 to 99 second-level registrations, from 100 to 199, 200, 299, and so on, moving to the right, that is 1,000 to 199, and then greater than 2,000, which both of those show two TLDs respectively, and then the distribution moving back forward. And then just the last two comments that I'll make, pages 7 and 8 is the raw data by TLD of the number of second-level registrations during Sunrise. Again, this is what was provided from the invoice data. Page 10 is just a starter list of the sources for this data. And then attachment 2, which starts on page 11, is just the kind of the listing by TLD of what their type is, whether they had specification 13 status, their region, kind of the raw data that made up some of the prior charts. So with that, I will go on mute and turn it back over to Phil to lead the queue for any dialogue or questions, suggestions, or comments about how we might improve this. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. my only comment is that looking at the chart 7, my personal conclusion would be that probably the in the top three in terms of numbers, porn, adult, and sex, that I would guess that most of those were defensive, of course. The Sunrise opportunity is there for trademark owners to make both defensive and proactive use of it. And with that, I'll call on George Kirikos for his comments.
George Kirikos again for the transcript. Yeah, I like the data on pages 7 and 8, which had the raw numbers of the Sunrise registrations. However, I was wondering why those isn't in the table format as additional columns following those pages, like on in the big chart with all the TLDs and Sunrise columns and year delegated. There should be another column with, you know, number of Sunrise registrations. And then as we collect more data, there'll be even more columns, because that's how ultimately we're going to do the analysis. So is that something that's planned for later on, or what? Because we'll presumably have other columns like total registrations after 1 month, you know, 6 months or a year, to perhaps be able to analyze if there's a correlation between number of Sunrises and the number of total registrations and other analysis like that. Thanks.
Barry, did you have a response on that? And also, my own question back to George after you respond, Barry, is what would be the advantage? We have all the data in table form right now. What would be the advantage of putting it in more visual form? But I'll let Barry respond first, and then George can get back to me on that.
Thank you, Phil, and thank you, George, for the question. I think the first part of your question is, given the number of pages of all the raw data anyway, it's really more just as meant as a reference and not a utility to extrude or kind of recreate the data. So in terms of the Sunrise registrations there, I just placed it on as few pages as possible for a quick reference. We can certainly change that. However, the working group feels that it needs to be positioned. The secondary part, I think, was I'm not sure I understood about the by month one versus month two in terms of Sunrise registration. But I did pick up on something that you mentioned about comparing the total Sunrise registration versus the number of total registrations for the given TLD. That is data that was provided as part of the CCT review team, and the GDD team does maintain that, or there is a chart out there. However, it wasn't up to date compared to the August data that I was able to extract out of here from the Sunrise stuff. So the next iteration, we can certainly try to compare those two numbers together. I think in quick response to that is the quantity of Sunrise registrations as compared to total registrations, there was such, you know, there's such a difference there. I'm not sure how much value that there is, you know, because take, for example, even with porn at 2191, I'm not sure what the total registrations are, but that would be, I think, probably less than 1% of those total registrations. And, you know, that would probably be that number or less for all of the other TLDs. But happy to do that if that's where the group wants to take this information. I hope that was helpful.
Yeah, thanks for that, Barry. And George, did you have any further response to Barry or to the one question I raised?
George, I just want to perhaps clarify what I meant. Is that ultimately we're going to, in our analysis, we're going to have various equations with variables on the left-hand side, variables on the right-hand side of some equation, and doing some regressions or doing some correlations. And so things like total number of registrations, various Sunrise prices, the type of Sunrise, those are all kind of, you know, variables. There might be zero or one, you know, Boolean variable. There might be numbers like the total number of registrations. There could be other types of data. And so to have them in a column form just makes it a lot easier, because then, you know, you have them all by TLD, and so you could run the analysis that way. Having them in kind of separate places makes that analysis a lot more difficult. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for that, George. All right. So working group members, Barry has completed his presentation. We have 20 minutes left in our scheduled time today, and the floor is open for further questions or comments about any of the data he's presented, about what it means or doesn't mean, and areas where you might wish Barry to focus on further refinement and getting back with more analysis of the available data. So anybody have anything to say? Maxim, go ahead.
Maxim, also, for the record, it's about example. Actually, during our previous face-to-face meeting, Abril from .core had short speech about the reasons for delay for like handful of GeoTLDs from .core. It was because to not very useful ALP program and constant delays from ICANN. So I suggest we take something else as example, because in that particular case we know that the reason was failure of ALP. It's from the words of the party which tried it. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Maxim. Again, I'm going to comment that in regard to the focus of this working group, of course, is to focus on the efficacy of the RPMs created for the first round, whether they operated effectively for trademark owners, whether they were balancing their impact on other members of the community. The type of delays you're talking about are really bailiwick of the subsequent procedures working group for people participating in that one to identify that those issues and problems and try to make sure they don't occur in a future round where they're not necessary for the program. And I do see Mary's hand up. Mary?
Thanks, Phil. Again, I wanted to follow up on Barry's comments. We are, as I noted earlier, starting to do data gathering and compilation for claims notices, so it really be helpful for staff to know if members find this way of presentation helpful, if you find the tables and charts and graphs helpful at this stage. One thing that we did talk a lot about amongst the staff when Barry first started on this project was how to present the information. As you can see, there's over 40 pages of raw data in Attachment 2. And while we could upload the spreadsheet and add the columns, as George has suggested, we thought that it would be very difficult and time-consuming for everyone to, work through basically 40 or 50 pages of individualized columns. So that's why we chose this approach. It'll be really helpful to know if you think this is workable for you. It'll really be also helpful to know specific to Sunrise registrations, which is what this presentation was about. Are there other ways we can present the data that maybe we haven't captured in the tables but that are in the attachments? Also, are there certain tables that you hope to see that aren't there that we can try to prepare based on the data that we have? So those would be our requests for the working group to provide us feedback on. And in relation to George's point about next steps with the data, I think that's something that the co-chairs and staff and group members will have to discuss when we do have all the data that we need to see how we actually crunch the numbers. And again, maybe a large group setting is not the best way to do that. And finally, on Maxim's point about the different registration periods, one of the requests had been for staff to go and get the information about which GTLDs did which of the limited registration periods, launch periods, and so forth, and qualified launch programs. We have compiled that information. It's not presented here because it's not actually Sunrise registration numbers. So that's information we already have that's available. But primarily for today, we hope this has been useful. And again, please let us know what tables you'd like to see that aren't there. Are there other ways of presenting the information that's in the raw data that you'd like to see? And overall, did you find this way of presentation helpful? Thanks, Phil.
Okay, thank you for that, Mary, and inviting the group to give feedback on those specific points. If anybody has initial feedback on any of that now, we can hear it. And if not, I know staff is always ready to take our input at any time. So with 17 minutes left in our time, does anyone have further comments or questions about the presentation we've had today? Okay, well, I think this, Kurt, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that it's raised a question in my mind about our scope a little bit, and we spend our time, you know, with, you know, specifically on the Sunrise issue, wondering how to tailor or amend the Sunrise processes. But, you know, looking at it, you know, it gives us an opportunity, too, and maybe we should make, you know, maybe this group should consider it or another, but part of our policy making should be about not just how to change, you know, amend Sunrise or amend claims, but also how we should be communicating about Sunrise and claims and communicating about this data. So one of our policy conclusions might be that that a substantial communications campaign be undertaken about Sunrise, the experiences of the first round, in order to help trademark owners approach it more, you know, in a better way for the second round, and encourage a greater number of trademark owners, if not directly to participate, at least consider the new GTLD program and the implications it has. So my recommendation coming out of this is maybe at some stage we should talk about our policy towards communications to the outside about this and outside trademark owners.
Okay, Kurt, so you're suggesting that within our scope, potential advice to ICANN and the community about better raising higher awareness among trademark owners of Sunrise opportunities when a subsequent round is in sight would be useful, as I understand it. Okay, so any other questions or comments? And if there are none, I'd ask working group members to think about the questions Mary raised, and to the extent that you found this initial data analysis useful and you'd like Barry to dig deeper into any of this type of analysis, I think best way to do that will be communicate to him and staff, you know, copy the whole working group so we know what dialogue is going on. And as the new sub-team on refining the data requests meets this Friday, I think this presentation will be very useful in kind of identifying for Sunrise what raw data, what conclusions can be drawn from the existing raw data, and where we're going to need additional inquiry to inform our work. So with that, I'd call on staff to briefly discuss next steps for our working group and the next meeting. And in teeing that up, I believe that next week may be our final call, because the next week is the 18th. The 25th would normally be our Asia-Pacific call taking place at 0300. And I know that I will be somewhere at 40,000 feet at that time, and I suspect many other members of this working group will be in transit as well. So we're only looking at, I believe, at one more working group call before our face-to-face meetings at ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi. So, Mary, go ahead.
Thanks, Phil, and that's right. Our assumption on the staff side is that the meeting next Wednesday will be the last meeting before ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi, and Terry has put in the Adobe chat that next Wednesday's meeting is at the non-Asia-Pacific friendly time of 1700 UTC. So on the staff side, we'll probably be working with the chairs to prepare not just for next week, but how next week can be useful for us going into ICANN 60, where, like the other two major PDPs that are going on in the GNSO, we have up to spread over four sessions for our meetings. So I just wanted to let everybody know that, or at least remind folks of the number of hours we have coming up ahead at ICANN 60. And what we can do as staff is circulate to everyone on the mailing list the times and the dates for those hours at ICANN 60. Of course, there will also be remote participation for those who are not going to be able to attend those meetings in person. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Mary. And as we look to ICANN 60, I did want to note that we are scheduled to have a total of 6 hours of working group activity in Abu Dhabi. I believe there's a three-hour session on the first Saturday and then two 90-minute sessions on separate days. It's come about that I will be the only co-chair attending Abu Dhabi. Kathy and Jay Scott, for differing reasons, will not be able to participate there. So I'd invite, for ICANN 60 discussion purposes, for the separate issues of, Sunrise, claims notices, private protections, I'm looking to invite leadership of the sub-teams who worked on developing our approach to those to perhaps think about sharing some of the operational duties in running those meetings, because frankly the thought of for myself, particularly given the high probability of jet lag and sleeping difficulties, the thought of having to run 6 hours of meeting solo is a bit daunting. So I'd invite leadership from those sub-teams to communicate directly with me and the other co-chairs to let us know if you're going to be in Abu Dhabi and if you're willing to shoulder some of that responsibility of running parts of those meetings so that I'm not carrying the full load myself and have some chance to take a break during those long sessions. And with that, any other comments before we adjourn for the day? All right. Well, I'm going to give you back the 10 minutes of your time, and I'll look forward to joining others on the initial meeting of the data refinement sub-team when it meets this Friday. So thank you all, and thanks to Barry for excellent data analysis, and we'll talk to all of you next Wednesday and some of you before that. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, everybody.
Everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.